All right, so with the new year kind of starting, we kind of analyzed how are things starting. Many of you, we talked about a few weeks ago, if you made resolutions or goals or plans or any of that. Many people hope to make improvements starting the new year, and a lot of them have to do with growth in some way, shape, or form. We're going to grow as people, grow in life, grow somehow. And growth is what we're going to focus on today. This is week 3 of 4 in the series 2024, the year of ... where we've been just looking at kind of a different theme or word every week to kind of see if we can make that part of our lives in 24. So we've done repentance. We did forgiveness. Today we're going to do growth. Next week, just a little preview, will be prayer. That will be our fourth one. So we'll talk about prayer next week, but today is growth. It's going to be about growth in our relationship with God, but more so growth in our lives when we see that we need to rely on God first or putting God first and how that can help us grow in different situations. How we put God first before our own passions and desires. Put him first in how we handle people and our behavior towards people that are in authority. Also, putting him first when we have disagreements or arguments over different things with people. So that's all going to be growth. That's not an exhaustive list of how to grow, but those are three we're going to address today. Now, we may all need to grow in all three of these areas. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe it's different. That's totally okay. Wherever you are is okay. What you need to grow in might be different from the people sitting at your table. And what I want us to remember about that is this. Growth looks different for everyone, but it makes a difference in everyone. So growth looks different probably for everybody in this room, right? But it will make a difference in all of our lives. So that's how we're going to look at growth today. And to do that, we're going to look at chapter 3 of the book of Titus. We're actually going to take this chapter a little bit out of order, but I just kind of like the way it sets up to do it out of order. The first area we'll look at has to do with our own behavior, the other two about our behavior with others. Quick poll. Who here has read the book of Titus before? Yeah, a few of you? Good. Okay. It's not a super popular one. We bookmark it there in your tables, and I said it to Stacy this morning. She's like, Titus, huh? I was like, yeah, right? We don't do it enough. So here we are. We're going to be in Titus chapter 3. We're going to start with verses 3 through 8. We will come back to verses 1 and 2 in just a little bit. So Titus 3, verses 3 through 8. It'll be up here behind me. It is bookmarked in those Bibles. You want to follow along on tablets, phones, computers. I'll be in the NIV translation. All great. Here we go. Titus 3, 3 through 8 says, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. We'll stop there. All right, so real quick, this is a letter to Titus. Paul writes this. Titus is one of his workers in Crete, and he's overseeing the Christians in Crete and the church there. So that's kind of the setup of the letter here. So Paul's giving some instructions to Titus. And what he's saying is, remember the past as motivation. It says, we were this, and that includes Paul and Titus, basically saying we were foolish. We had no spiritual understanding. What that led to was no discernment, no hearing from God, and then outward disobedience, basically by following anything or anyone, all kind of willy-nilly, just flying, passions, pleasures, we'll follow all that. Then they would also hold grudges against other people and be envious towards them and make other people envious towards them. And this all kind of is happening within. This is like a heart, inner behavior, inner condition. But then what Paul says, then the kindness of God appeared. And he's saying it actually appeared in Jesus. He's going back to the fact that Jesus actually came to earth, which led to Jesus' blessings, his mercy, his salvation. And he did all of this in spite of the behavior and disobedience of the people, because he gave mercy and kindness, not because they cleaned up their acts, but out of love. And he says he gave this washing, this cleaning. So washing being like actually the act of being made clean, cleaned of past sin. Again, spiritual and inner act, right? We follow the passions and pleasures that were warmed up inside us that we wanted to follow, but then we've been washed clean by Jesus. Paul will say this justified the people to God, basically being made right with God Paul loves the word justified. It's used a lot in his writing. It's a legal term basically just saying we were made right with God. So we hear it a lot with Paul. We're going to do some more of Paul's letters coming up here the rest of kind of the winter and spring. So we'll probably hear that term again. But what comes with that, with being justified, being made right with God, is that we're made heirs to the kingdom of God and given hope. And the important thing to stress is that hope is right now. We have hope right now, even in light of our past, in essence, immaturity of following our own behaviors and not following God. And even in light of our present immaturity, we have hope. So when we kind of shed off that behavior, we remind ourselves of the kindness and mercy of God. It leads, as Paul says, to good works, good outcomes of our actions. So Paul kind of outlines how we go from behaviors we shouldn't have to God's mercy and forgiveness and justification to good works for God. So he kind of gives this kind of flow of how it can go. But what it really starts with and where we're going to kind of focus on is putting off behaviors that don't honor God in order to grow and do good things. So putting off some type of behavior, we talked just before, how's your 2024 going? For many, sometimes starting the new year is putting things off we shouldn't do. And for many, it's food choices. I know that's one of mine. Eating healthier, right? We're all going to eat healthier to start the year. I thought back to college me, which was all probably similar to that one. There was a lot of pizza, chips, and beer, and soda. I think I looked back at where I lived in college. I actually lived by a pizza place every year. I lived above Topper's one year, across from a Rocky Rococo's one year, and down the street from a Little Caesar's another. I didn't realize that until I thought back. I was like, oh, that makes sense why I had so much pizza. We lived by them, right? Well, now it's a little better. It's more like this one right now. There's salads and chicken breasts and water. The idea is putting off this for something better, right? So putting off our own bad behavior and following our own pleasures and desires and doing things that don't honor God is like putting down the chips and now we're going to grab the salad, okay? That's kind of what we're going for. It doesn't mean we'll never struggle with the chips or we'll never eat chips again, but we're putting something off for something better. So putting off behavior that doesn't honor God. You might see this in your past, might be in your present. And I think what it kind of boils down to is immaturity. And I know it's not a fun word to always hear, but I think it's accurate. Not putting God first and giving way to things that don't honor him shows a little bit of spiritual immaturity in our parts. And it's something I'm guilty of. It happens when we get enslaved by passion and pleasure. So passion and pleasure, though, without godly influence. There's nothing wrong on their own with passions and pleasures, but if God's not behind them, they can't be our main influence. So look at your passions and pleasures, right? The passions you have. God might be using them or be a part of them, and if that's the case, that's great. Allow God to use the passions that he gave you. Let him be a part of your pleasure or the things that make you happy. However, if they're leading you away from God, that's when they become a problem. So what are you doing with your passions? Think about it. Where do they take you? What are you doing with them? What brings you happiness and pleasure? Are those things that honor God or is God involved with those? Passions and pleasures are fine, but when that's what we chase or they lead us away from God, that's showing some spiritual immaturity. And that's one thing we want to grow in, right? Immaturity also has to do with envy, both being envied and envying others. And envy is super hard. Envy comes from inside, right? It's kind of wanting what other people have or making them want what you have, right? So others envying you, getting things to show off, you know, one-upping someone around you. You know, your neighbor gets a brand new car. You buy the same one, but the higher model to be like, oh, yeah, yours is great. Well, you see mine? Mine's got the this, that kind of thing. It's the opposite of humility, which is what we're called to be by God, is to be humble. It's also envying other people. And this is a hard one, I think. I would say one that I struggle with more, envying others versus being envied. Wanting what someone else has. I cannot see if somebody's got like a super dope patio where there's like a grill built into the wall of the patio and my wife is laughing at me right now because she knows that's what I want, right? So you got the cool wall and the grill's right there and I'll be out and I'm grilling all summer long. Like, you could all come if I get that, by the way. You're all invited. But that's hard. That makes me be like, I want that. And this creeps in really easily for all of us when we don't even realize that envy gets in. And it can make us think or feel maybe that God hasn't provided enough or hasn't given us enough. And usually it comes in the way of money or material things. And the immaturity is in that we focus on material things and wealth and our reliance on those things and not our reliance on God. But thankfully, We have that flow that Paul outlined, which is our way out, our way to grow. The kindness of God sending Jesus and giving us a rebirth and a renewal. Through Christ and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can mature and grow in Christ, understanding that he is better than the passions or pleasures that take us away and inviting him in to our passion and pleasure. So working to shed disobedience to God and being captivated by our pleasures and passions. Growth is realizing we've been disobedient, we do need to change. This happens. Growth is realizing our spiritual immaturity and that we haven't been putting God first and honestly relying on him. We've been relying on ourselves. And this may be where you're at right now. If you are, that's great. Right? Work through that. And honestly, this is stuff we'll always be kind of working through. We're always going to have to work through fully relying on God. But work on it and grow in that area. That'll lead to being able to do more for God. All right, so putting off our past behaviors, that had to do with our own behavior. Now we're going to look at growing in our behavior, these next two, towards other people. So we're going to go back to the beginning of Titus. Let's look at 3 verses 1 and 2. It says this. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. We'll stop there. He says remind. Basically, this is stuff people should know. We should know, but you need a little nudge, a little reminder of these things. So remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities in their area, a voluntary acceptance of what is in place, the rulers and the rules that are there. The caveat here is always that what is in place, you follow that as long as it doesn't completely contradict or go against what God is calling them to. So obedience to that. That's the first part. So obedience to the rules that are there. And then there's also kind of a respect level by not slandering anyone. Those in authority and others. This is giving them some inner grace. Being peaceful and gentle to those people around, even if you don't like them, even if you find them perverse, you don't agree with them. And I kind of lump this all in with the word respect and learning to disagree without disparaging someone. Disagreeing without going on the attack. You can have one without the other, right? Having one thing, it seems like maybe they got to go together, but they don't. I was thinking about, there's a place Stacy and I have gone a number of times, the piano bar downtown, the Ivory Room. And kind of the whole idea is you're there, you got dueling pianos, two people playing, and they're playing like a lot of songs people know, so everybody starts singing. Well, they've had a shirt there, I don't know if it's still there, that said, it won't be long before you sing along. Because the idea being, you can't be here and sing, right? But you can, it's hard. You can actually be there and sing, it's hard, especially when Piano Man comes on, or Sweet Caroline, right? All these songs that you know. But you can't actually be there and not sing, even if everybody else is, even if it's hard, you can have one without the other. You can indeed not like an authority figure or their rules and policies and not make disparaging remarks about them or attack them, even if everybody around you is doing it. And this can be hard. So we're going to look at that a little bit. We all have authority figures in life that put rules and policies in places. Government leaders, bosses, supervisors, whatever. And there's a phrase that's fairly common that will go like, I have issues with authority, or like, I don't do authority well. And it's seen as this positive, right? I don't take anybody or anything from anybody type of thing. And I get where it comes from. But here's the issue is as Christians, we're literally already followers of somebody. We're followers of Jesus. We submit to his authority and to God's authority. So we're already following him. And we're taught through Paul here to respect the rules that other people put in place. Subject to, be obedient, and respect the rules these leaders put in place. Now, it doesn't say agree with everything. Don't have to agree and like everything that's out there. But we're following them as long as they don't contradict following God. Basically, not willfully going out of our way to break a rule just because we don't like it or we feel like that one doesn't apply to me, right? I'm above that one. We don't prove anything at all when we do that. So what Paul is writing to Titus here is to respect the rules and policies that are in place. So that's kind of the rules and policies. The next layer is the person themselves, that actual ruler, when he says, don't slander. This is about respecting a person or the leader themselves, not slandering someone in authority or anyone else for that matter. And this will inevitably pop up when it comes to rulers because we're in an election year. can't ignore it. 2024 is an election season. New leaders will be elected. It always gets heated, it charges people up, and it tends to get a little nasty. Now, as a church, if you were ever wondering, Hometown does not, will not endorse a candidate or a party or anything like that. How you choose to vote, if you vote, is completely up to you. We may all vote differently, and that's totally fine. Now, I actually kind of like what election season is supposed to be about, the changeover of leaders. My undergrad's in political science. My senior research was on, actually, religious affiliation and voting habits, so I kind of like it. But I don't like where it's gone to, which is all the mudslinging and how nasty it has gotten. And this happens when people don't like a candidate or they don't agree with somebody. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. What to do if there's somebody in authority that you don't like, whether that's an elected official, candidate, a boss, a supervisor, anything. So if you don't like a particular person, first off, you don't actually have to say anything about that publicly. You can keep it to yourself. We really can. But if you need to say something, I would say let's think about saying it as a follower of Jesus first. Right? Not liking a person and disagreeing with them, but not ripping them to shreds. Being respectful. I think that's how we can look at being followers of Jesus when we do disagree. And I see this from non-Christians and Christians alike, both sides of the aisle, from people that don't like bosses, officials, anything. Now, they have every right to disagree. You have every right to not be a big fan of somebody that's in place. But slandering and the shots at them and the language or making fun of them really needs to stop, especially as Christians. We're not proving anything by slamming someone on social media or at the water cooler at work. We're not advancing the gospel or spreading the message of Jesus. I feel like we're just holding it back because that's not what Jesus would have done. You know, there's the love your enemy, love your neighbors, this whole thing. Disagree and not like someone without slandering or disparaging them. Say it in a respectful way. That's growth and maturity when we can do that, to be able to do that. And I think that's what this section is getting at, to disagree, to not like someone in authority and still being respectful. So we're respectful to people in authority. We also need to be respectful when it comes to disagreements or arguments with others. Let's look at a little more here in Titus chapter 3. This will be verses 9 through 11. It says this. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once, then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful. They are self-condemned. We'll stop there. He says, avoid arguments about the law. So this would imply basically people that are arguing over different parts of their Old Testament law, Jewish customs and ceremonial issues. Today, this would look like Christians arguing with other Christians over what the Bible says. Okay? And what Paul's getting at is in this day, in this time when he's writing to Titus, this would usually come from people speculating about something, making an unfounded assumption or an unfounded claim. Then this leads to fighting and division, and that's where the problem comes in. The fighting and the division that these disagreements lead to. Paul is saying these types of arguments that lead to division are useless and they do not spread the gospel. So he's saying we need to avoid those. He's also saying be aware of people that are starting these arguments, maybe on purpose. People that push ideas or opinions or views on others that cause problems. And he says, Paul says, warn them. Warn those people about what they're doing. Stand up to them with confidence. Don't slander them. Do it in a loving way, but stand up to them. Then he says, if they refuse to listen, let them go. Be done with them. He's like, it's not a good use of your time and resources. Paul's saying they won't receive correction. They won't receive instruction from anyone. They insist on going their own way. He says, God will handle them. That's up to God then. So showing maturity and growth is being able to avoid foolish arguments that lead to division, especially amongst us Christians, and to be on guard for those trying to start them. We could run the gamut on things that would be foolish arguments. There's a fun one that I have with my family, thankfully, that doesn't lead to any division, but my sister and I have quite the back and forth that goes on about there is a gash in the wall in our basement back at my parents' house. And I've told this story before. Basically, what happened is I think it was year 2000. My sister and I were home. My brother was older and living somewhere else. My parents were going out of town for the weekend. And instead of telling us you cannot have any friends over, they're like, we're just going to tell you it's okay because you're going to do it anyway. So we'll just give you the permission. Great. We both had sets of friends over, different nights. And they come home, and there's a gash in the wall. Now, that is actually a picture of the wall as of Wednesday. My dad sent this to me. It's hard to see it, but the gash is still there. My dad will not patch it or fix it because my sister and I to this day go back and forth about whose friends it were that did it. I insist it's her. She insists it's mine. My brother stokes the fire in this just because it's funny. Now, this doesn't actually lead to any actual issues. My sister and I get along great. But if we actually got mad at each other and, like, trying to put our families on different sides about the gash who did it, that would be the problem. Right? It's funny. Again, my dad refuses to patch it. I think if they sold the house, he would leave it and not fix it. But if we did it and it, like, split us legitimately, that would be the definition of a foolish argument. So what Paul's teaching here is avoid foolish arguments. And I like this section. The first type. We're going to look at two types of arguments. First one being Christian stuff, for lack of a better phrase. Theology, the way churches operate, types of services. There are a variety of views potentially in this room, definitely within the churches in Verona and the greater Madison area, about baptism, on creation, on types of worship music to play, style of preaching, church size, all of it. And that's all important. That's all fine. And I won't say it's not, and it can be talked about and debated, but not in a way that divides us. And that's where the issue comes in. Disagree, but disagree in love. Disagree, but stay unified around what Jesus did for all of us. And remember how much bigger that is than whatever we disagree on. Don't engage in any of these arguments or debates to just be right or to be the better Christian. Here's an example of one that has come up. I've been in worship ministry for close to 20 years. And I followed like some worship leader groups on social media. And one of the hot topics that should not be one is the use of these right here, music stands. It is. I know you're laughing, but it is. It is insanely debated about whether you should use these because they block you from the congregation, they're a barrier between you and God, whatever. And this, like, I've seen it, and I was like, clearly I don't care because I use them. And whatever, people want to have this discussion, but I've seen people literally get mad on these threads and rip each other apart, and it just drives me nuts. And I'm not going to keep going on it. I have it in my notes. Don't go on your soapbox, because I could if you got a couple hours after church. We can do it. But that's the definition of a foolish argument about whether we should use one of these in a service, right? This is the kind of thing. Have the discussion, sure, but don't let it divide. Have the right heart about it. And also, when we enter into these, know where you're coming from. Because part of the issue, as Paul talked about with Titus, is there were assumptions or unfounded claims made. And that can absolutely be a problem as well. So just be careful on this stuff. Know when to enter in, know when to stay out or bow out. So that's arguments over things within the church, maybe. Then just arguments or debates about other stuff. And it can be fun to have back and forth debates about sports, about music, about food, entertainment. That's great. Do it all the time. But just be a little careful about where those go. Does it, as it gets going and back and forth, does it turn personal when it should? Are you trying to just be right and puff up some arrogance, or tell somebody they're wrong? Just things to be aware of, because in any of those, we always want to represent God well. You don't have to engage in these debates if you don't want to. You can, but you can let them go. You do not have to respond to that tweet or that post. You don't have to, you know, when the conversation ends, if Kyle and I are having one, we're walking away and turn around. And another thing, Kyle, you don't have to do it. You really don't. But if you do, just remember the heart behind it, that we're followers of Jesus first. So growth is engaging in a debate or disagreement, the right way, and knowing when to just let it be. Finally, it's also about having the confidence to call someone out when they're shaking things up in the wrong way. This is how Paul ends this part. Again, we got to do this in love without slandering them, but let somebody know, hey, you're causing division. This is not okay, that it's not right. And if they won't hear it, which some will not, God will handle it. You can let them go. That is then up to God. Growth is realizing we can disagree on a whole lot of things, but what really matters is being unified around what Jesus did for all of us. That's what matters. We all have different areas to grow in. And as we wrap up, think about the three we talked about. You know, maybe it's one, maybe it's two, maybe it's all three. Maybe it's something totally different. But recognize where you need to grow. It's okay wherever you are. Do you need to put off behaviors that don't honor God? work through that with God. Focus on him first. Or maybe it's respecting those in authority. And this can be hard when you disagree with them or the policies that are in place. But do that again with being a follower of Jesus in mind. Or is it maybe growth in handling arguments? Do you need to get involved in less arguments or debates? Do you need to just let more go? Or do you need to just keep the right heart when you do it? Or is there someone you see causing division that you're like, God's nudging me, I do need to say something about this? So growth will look different for all of us, but when we grow, it will make a difference in all of us. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you just for this part of the letter to Titus, God, that we can learn how to grow in you. And God, there are so many ways we can all be growing in our lives with you. But I pray we would think about these three, about our own behaviors, God, and then really our behavior towards others. And that we would always feel the nudge from you to grow in these things. That we would put you first, and that would lead to our growth. So God, we thank you that we do have you in our hearts, God, that we can discern your voice. And I pray that we would have the strength, God, to listen and to follow what you're having us do in these situations. God, I pray that we would have the ears to listen as well. So we thank you again for this morning. In your name.